Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
Well, the Eagles missed their shot at clinching a playoff berth. The Cowboys have swept the Redskins for the second season in a row, and the Giants say goodbye to a true legend. We'll be right back with the NFC East reaction and updates here on AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
I was like, wait, is this actually
really
worth the minute?
Yeah. Alright, we're going with our classic tune, even though I really wanted to start with Boys to Men, It's So Hard to Say Goodbye.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we can all agree it's very hard to say goodbye to Ben McAdoo.
No.
We're gonna miss a lot of fun haircuts.
The haircuts were fun.
A lot of great memes.
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of children dressing up as McAdoo.
Ending historic streaks. That's also cool.
Historic.
Yeah.
What we won't miss is a lot of giant losses.
I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah, I
will say that I miss that, but it might take a while for this to come around. We're going to get into it in a second. My name is Jenna Bussier. You can find me on Twitter at Jenna_Bussier. Take it away, y'all.
Sorry, I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. That is also my Venmo account. So if you want to make donations for absolutely no reason, send them over there.
I'm a big fan of that as well. Cash App?
Venmo.
All right, Venmo. I've noticed that there are two type of people. There are Venmo people and there are Cash App people.
PayPal.
You're PayPal. Oh, yeah, PayPal. All right, see, that's just old school. That's like MySpace.
Panhandling here at AfterBuzz TV. Times are tough.
I'm D'Angelo. You can hit me up on Twitter at D'Angelo TV or on Instagram at D'Angelo.
And you will notice there's a spot missing at our panel. The Eagles have lost.
Yeah, he's embarrassed. He doesn't want to. He's feeling bashful right now.
Just the second time this season, so dude decides to be a no-show. He is going to be late. He is coming in a little bit. We will see Steve Kaufman in a minute.
We'll help him cope. We're used to losing.
I'm not going to help him cope. I'm definitely going to throw it in his face. But let's breaking news first. Well, this is a day old. This is not breaking news. I don't know why I said it like that. But Ben McAdoo and GM Jerry Reese fired from the Giants staff. We have a live look right now. This is New York City celebrating. So let's take a look at the subway of New York City and see all these fans just happily dancing. Alive. Yes, this is very much live.
This is a live look at the New York City.
We have a correspondent there.
Oh, we do.
What's
our correspondent's name? Correspondent. What's a very like New York name? Giovanni.
Giovanni, something Italian.
Okay, we have some technical issues with our first live.
They are
live
so
look.
Happy about it.
Our satellite
messed
up.
So happy about it that they, you know, we lost footage of it. We lost the feed, you know. But they were very jubilant.
We're going to try and get it up and coming. But while we do, we'll look at some of the logistics. So John Mara and Steve Tisch make the decision after the Oakland loss. So the Reese has been with the Giants in various roles, the scouting and a director of player personnel since 1994 and the GM since 07. He has brought two Super Bowl wins to the team. So is it hard to say goodbye?
Reese, it is. I mean, he's hit or miss for me. I mean, he's drafted hit or miss. Like, he hasn't been that good in the draft, but the people who has drafted that are good had turned out to be really good. Two Super Bowls, you can't, like, how can you even, like, say he's bad? I know a lot of Giants fans are happy with him being gone. I just think he made an unfortunate decision to not revamp the offensive line. You know, signed Brandon Marshall. Yeah, he's a good wide receiver, but our line was terrible. So I think that was his undoing. And not so much the McAdoo hire, but the simple fact that if you gave any coach an offensive line, it would have been a lot easier for this Giants team to succeed.
Yeah.
So I do think he was rightfully fired. I think it's unfortunate. The McAdoo thing I'm more happy about, though, because I don't think he fixed the system at all.
I think we do have our live look in now.
Oh, we have our live look. Yes. Let's take it away, then. This is NYC celebrating. They are very happy about this.
Oh, look at this.
This is what happens when a coach that leads a 2-10 record gets fired. We're trying to be
This is
you know that Bodak Yellow.
Who doesn't? Look at this, just uniting the people. Come on.
He brought me here, guys.
Oh, look at him. Wow, look at him.
We got here,
an appearance of an Eagle fan here today.
I am, in fact, here. Here.
And Steve Coffin is here, and he has dressed to the nines, nice. We might add.
Nice. We did not talk about wardrobe today.
Well, unless you've been living under a rock and haven't seen this viral video, this is obviously not NYC celebrating the Giants firing of Mac.
I feel like they'd be more excited.
But you know
personally.
What? This is pretty much what it would look like. So we at least have a representation.
Josh is also celebrating Ben McAdoo right now.
So let's see. Do you think McAdoo will have an NFL job in the future?
Maybe as an offensive coordinator. He was the offensive coordinator in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers before he came to the Giants. So that is on his resume, although it's probably Aaron Rodgers making him look really good rather than him being an offensive genius. I mean, the Giants didn't score 30 points with him as their head coach, which is absurd. Yeah. How do you go 2 years without scoring 30 points and you're an offensive mind? I mean, Eli Manning is not in his prime anymore, but he's a good enough quarterback to put up 30 points. They have Odell Beckham. It's just...
But they did not this year. So there's a lot of issues that happened that kind of fell back on him. And I saw an article that actually used the term that he is the fall guy for the Giants.
He is the fall guy.
How much truth do you think there is to that
analogy? They messed up the Eli Manning... him being benched, and the owner was part of that decision, and he wanted it done in a certain way. It backfired because Eli Manning didn't go with it. Because who would go with, hey, I'll play in the first half, and I'm going to be out in the second half.
Sure, give me a half.
So
half
I think the
on
owner,
my team.
Yeah. So now they wanted to look at these young guys. So the owner now, it's a scapegoat almost. That's why they fired him now, as opposed to at the end of the year.
Which is it's kind of rare to get fired in the middle of the season.
But I think this allows them to now. They don't have to start Eli now. Or if the streak's over, he's not the owner's not to blame for it anymore. Like, they can actually look at these other guys. And so I do feel like he was the fall guy, but he would have been fired regardless.
I think it's more than the fall guy, though, because the defense turned on him. They don't like him. I mean, he suspended players on defense. Yes. He didn't discipline Odell Beckham, and I think that's where the defense started to lose respect for him. And on top of that, like I said before, he's an offensive coach. You're an offensive mind, and you can't put up 30 points in one game in 2 years. I think that has a lot to do with it. Eli Manning seemed to regress the past couple 2 years when he was the head coach. Eli didn't have that great of a season last year. He didn't have a good season this year. And the offensive line has a lot to do with it, and he can't help the fact that the offensive line was terrible, but you're still supposed to be this offensive genius. Get creative. Do something to put points up on the board. This offense is brutal. It's putrid. It shouldn't be that bad. It really shouldn't.
Do you think that 1.5 years, not even a full 2 years, is too soon?
I don't know. It seemed like he lost the team. I think it's because he lost the team. Last year, they won 11-5.
They
don't respect him. And if you lose the respect, that's it. If it was just a bad season, listen, you can chalk a bad season up to offensive line.
He thinks that's the New York. We're going to talk about it.
Like, you could say, listen, all right, offensive line sucks. We lost our top four receivers. You're going to suck. But at the same time, the team didn't play hard for him. They don't respect him. Look, the defense half the time doesn't even try. We showed highlights in the past with the defense just not giving effort.
The defense came around, though. They started playing really strong
because
they
were a good defense, but they just, I don't know.
And they always had the potential to.
I think they're playing for Spagnuolo more than they're playing for McAdoo, to be honest.
He's the head coach now.
Also, fire McAdoo or not, fire McAdoo this week or don't, he's not the leader.
Exactly.
He's not leading the team. He lost the team.
Exactly.
He's no Tom Coughlin. Let's put it that way. Very much so, you need that leadership role, and he just obviously didn't step into that very well.
Granted, this is a spectacularly bad season for them, but like even in a situation where they're like a 5 or 6 win team at this moment, you need someone who will lead people to know we can win out and maybe get a wild card spot.
And spectacular is a good word because we, as fans of opposing teams in the division, are having a spectacular time watching this team.
Very true.
I couldn't be happier with how the Giants season is going.
I mean, we played really bad against y'all and we still won.
Good job, D'Angelo. Let's take it there. We have a lot to get to. So Thursday Night Football feels like a million years ago. This is the Cowboys versus Redskins.
Wait, before we get there, what about like head coaching candidates for the Giants? Yep. Anything like that?
I don't know.
It's
open. The search is initiated. Yeah. They have started the search immediately.
I really like Spagnuolo just because he was a defensive coordinator for their first Super Bowl, but he failed miserably in St. Louis when he went over to the Rams, so I don't know if they're going to hire him. I don't know. I actually haven't even thought about it, to be honest with you. I don't know.
I mean, do you think it's going to be something that next season could be that quick of a turnaround? I think this is going to be years of building.
You need a quarterback. You need a line. NFL allows you to turn around pretty quickly, but it's going to take maybe a year or two. They have to draft the right quarterback. That's first. you know.
And then tale as old as time is going to go back to the new head coach for them not improving quickly.
I don't think it's that. You're judging this team off of not having Odell Beckham Jr., which makes that offense significantly better. We saw that with the struggling offense. The defense is still, in my opinion, a motivated defense would be top 10. I don't know how many guys are going to be free agent, but I don't think it's you're going into Brown territory. I think you could come around. Okay. The Jaguars are winning with Blake Bortles as the quarterback.
Good point.
And a good defense.
And they were a week off on this firing from being able to, like, try and court Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
They could have. Yeah, that's what we want. They could have away from UCLA. Yeah.
Shout out to Jimmy Garoppolo on the San Francisco 49ers pulling off a victory.
Yeah.
So that the Giants are tied. Well, actually, the Giants are below them now. We'll get the two pick. You know? I like this. Let's
Jimmy
go.
Jimmy G's performance, I don't know if was the number one factor in the
I'm just happy they won. I'm just happy they won.
Fair.
All right, there we go. All right, we're moving on to the Cowboys-Redskins. Thursday Night Football, Cowboys win 38-14. We got some highlights. We got some stuff to talk about. This was obviously a great win for the Cowboys. I still don't know if this necessarily means our postseason chances are extremely high. It doesn't really. But this is still a divisional game against a rivalry. So obviously, I kind of said to some coworkers and some people, if we can beat the Redskins and the Giants, you know, I can be not ecstatic, but I'll be happy for the rest of the season because you want to beat those teams that you have the heated rivalries with. But a big part of this game, it being kind of a do-or-die playoff situation game, is the Kirk Cousins issue. So let's bring up some of the Kirk Cousins highlights because I think he played a very well game. A very good game.
Well-played game.
A
swell game.
Let's take a look at some of his crazy plays that he kept alive this touchdown scoring drive.
I'll give him the credit. He made some pretty good plays.
Some crazy plays.
This one right here I was really impressed with.
That's ridiculous.
He's able to use his feet. He's using his legs a lot more. He's running. He's scrambling. He makes that off the back foot throw.
He did not lose the game, but he rarely ever loses the game. Yeah.
So
I mean, Jameson Crowder fumbled the ball twice.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, yes.
And that played a big role.
Jameson Crowder
the defense
had
even
a
played well
game.
In the beginning. You just, you know, you guys caught your stride, apparently, Alfred Morris and Ezekiel Elliott. You know. I'll say, maybe we should just have the Kirk Cousins conversation. Now.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's exactly what we're going to get into, because my point is, offensive line, obviously the weak point of this offense, not only did you go in with it being weak, but then you lose Trent Williams and Moses halfway through the game. That's a huge blow. You have Jameson Crowder, who dropped fumbled the ball twice.
Right.
Caused interception when it bounced off his hands.
Right.
A lot of the receivers were not on top of their game. So why does this go on Kirk Cousins for some people, which I feel like I'm getting from you that it does?
Kirk Cousins wants Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady money, or a.k.a. Jay Cutler money. Here's the scenario for the Redskins. He needs help. He needs receivers. He needs DeSean Jackson. I mean, everybody needs. But yeah. he needs an elite receiver. The NFL is a hard cap league. He gets Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady money. We don't have the money to give him the talent around him that he needs to succeed. Mm-hmm. And that's why, so okay, if you give this guy that type of money, you're in a situation like the Lions or the Bears were with Jay Cutler, where you're gonna be 7-9, 6-10, 8-8, depending on how he's playing. Mm-hmm. He has proven to me in 3 years that he's consistently gonna be a good guy. Like he's like a, it's 39 and I'm gonna complete 6 yards. I completed the pass. I got the yards. My percentage looks good, but I didn't get the play that needed for us to convert. Mm. And so, like, that's what I've seen from him. And this is just another example where you guys aren't not playing well. You're not playing well. And for all intents and purposes, you're not a good football team coming into this game. There's no reason to not win this game or at least be competitive in this game. And yes, the defense started to choke and Jameson Crowder fumbled twice, but you want Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers money, they overcome stuff like that.
I think it's hard for any quarterback to say that they want that kind of money, you know? But I still think that Kirk played a stellar game in this matchup, and it doesn't really come down on him. But the incentive was, okay, so the next 5 games determine his future. So what do you think his future will be?
I don't, like, if they get him, if they bring him back, I won't be upset. But if they don't bring him back, I really will understand. And we're going to suck, like, the next couple of years if they do that. But if they do that, like, the long-term success, like, I just can't see us. The goal should be winning a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The things that need to happen for Kirk Cousins to lead us to a Super Bowl involve money to get things around him that I just, you know, it's kind of an either-or. It's a tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
But this goes back to our argument that we had earlier in the season where it's like teams are trying to build around quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And there aren't many quarterbacks that are going to win you Super Bowls. A lot of times you need to have everything else. You don't get many Carson Wentz. You don't get many Tom Brady's. You don't get many Aaron Rodgers or even Eli or Joe Flacco. Like those seasons that those guys have had. So I think the mode of how they address this needs to be different. Get a, I don't know, another guy. Get a Dak Prescott, a game manager or something like that. Like,
I think if you put Dak in the situation that Kirk was in on Thursday night, he would have completely underperformed compared to Kirk.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the thing is, like, so Dak is surrounded with tons of talent. And so all the talent's there, he doesn't need to do much. I think that's what Kirk Cousins needs too. But Dak is on this rookie scale contract. But Kirk, as he should be commanding as much money as he can. And he should go to a Jaguars or Cardinals or something like that, a team that's already like, but like, we're not. I don't think it's not sustainable for the future. Okay. And maybe I'm like uber frustrated.
I think Dak and Carson Wentz are similar in this comparison that you build a team around a quarterback in his rookie year.
Right.
But when they start wanting Tom Brady money and they're not Tom Brady, you have to let them go.
Tough. That's a tough decision, but I really feel like.
Because you can't afford to have them throw the ball at anybody. Like, that's where we are with Kirk Cousins, and he's not going to take a pay cut. It's a matter of whether the market will. It's a matter of whether the market somewhere else will pay him the money.
I think they will.
I think so too.
Yeah. Definitely, he deserves it, and like we will suck with him
being gone. No doubt on Kirk deserving it. It's just his 10-year-old will probably not last.
No, I don't think he deserves that money. But he will get it.
Right.
If he deserved it, I'd be like, give him the money. But what am I signing up for? I'm signing up for. His best year has been when he had DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, and Jordan Reed, who was healthy that year. We were 9-7 and won the division because the rest of y'all sucked.
You know what I mean? Remember that year.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and that's all you need in the NFC East, honestly, for the rest of them.
Not most of the years. Well, y'all were 13-3, and you're 10-2. Like, that's not going to. What is that going to do? That's nothing. Like, I'd rather suffer for a couple more years and try to find a better situation than that. Personally, that's how I feel right now. But I'm also kind of salty.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Kirk Cousins thing is so interesting because to me, I feel like he has proven himself, but it really does all come down to money because he has made great plays and put together great offensive numbers and drives with a lackluster receiving corps. I mean, with Reed being out and Jamison Crowder drops and even Doxson dropping some, I feel like he's proven to have so much heart and get the job done no matter what. So I think he should find a home as a starting quarterback somewhere.
Yeah.
I thought it would stay at the Redskins, but we will see how that unfolds.
It's going to be interesting how
it'll be interesting.
I don't trust them to make the right decision. It's not like they've done it before.
Them franchising him, too, because they're getting all that money. Like that kind of hurt in the long run for the Redskins, at least. I mean, they could have signed him 2 years ago.
Yeah. And would have had more flexibility to bring back a DeSean Jackson or a Garcon.
Everybody thought, you know, Kirk is not getting the deal he deserves. Meanwhile, he's pretty much been cashing in with the franchise tag when he could have taken a lesser deal and had that longer
He bet on himself and he won. But he's just not going to be on the Redskins anymore.
Well, we could talk about Kirk all day, but we got to move on. We have some
over the season. Why am I here?
That's what's so hard. When you get to that point, you get over it. But we have some Cowboys highlights because we made a little turnaround in this game.
Oh, look at you!
Dez Bryant passes Bob the Bullet Hayes for the most touchdown catches in Cowboys history, and that is with 72 touchdown catches. This is Dez Bryant's first touchdown catch since Week 7 against the 49ers. So we're finally seeing this Dez connection, which fans have been so weary about. I mean, I just think everything came together in this game to make this happen.
It's a great catch.
The balanced offense. We need the run game to pick up, and that's exactly what happened. Alfred Morris had a great game. For some reason, he likes blowing it up against the Redskins. I have a feeling that's more of a Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett call. Well, Zeke being out this time, but I remember last year, him getting the touchdown against the Redskins, that was the only snap they gave him the entire game. So he busted out. Since Zeke's suspension, Alpha has actually been playing well. He's had 74 carries for 307 yards and no game under an average of 4 yards per carry. So this is what we need to make the Dez Bryant highlights come out. We need Dak to be able to pass, find his guys. Jason Witten also had a touchdown catch. The balance in the attack is key. But even though that did happen. It was a slow offensive start for us.
Very slow.
It was extremely slow. We didn't get a first down until the end of the first quarter, and you saw that hit that Dak had on his hand, and his hand got all swollen. Yeah. So I think that had an effect a little bit on his play, obviously. But really, the Redskins just kind of had a bad game, and we just Not kind of. I'm being nice. They had a very bad game, and we capitalized on it.
Yeah, I think what helped you guys a lot, too, is that you didn't get behind early. Even though the offense did come out slow, mm-hmm. it didn't force Dak to start slinging the rock around. You could have, you know, you stuck to the run game.
The good old pigskin?
Yeah, so, I mean.
The rock. The rock around.
The rock. I mean, all right, fine.
But just get any good 50, team would have taken advantage.
We did. We had a lot of things to take advantage of. And one of the coolest things was to see Ryan Switzer, our rookie this year, who we drafted for special teams.
Cole Beasley.
Beasley mini, right? Yeah. Cole Beasley Jr. He has this 83-yard punt return, which is awesome. And at first, with the offense taking so long to get going, this was kind of the break we needed. Mm-hmm. I feel like this was definitely a mental momentum shift, a whole game momentum shift. So let's check out Ryan Switzer running that ball back on this punt return.
Is he a rookie?
He is a rookie.
Where's he from, do you know?
I think he's from North Carolina.
This was so pretty.
This was.
Ryan Switz bringing it back. And you're just like, yes, go! Yeah,
it's literally holes you don't see when you play Madden. Yeah. Like, those aren't holes. He literally walked between defenders. Like, those aren't holes that the average player or the average, like, anyone would see.
I feel like kick return touchdowns and punt return touchdowns are some of my favorite things to see happen in games. As long as it's not on my team. Because then they suck royally.
Correction, I think punt return touchdowns are incredibly amazing.
Yeah.
More than kick, because kick usually is longer.
Five kick return touchdowns are great. The rest of them are literally, you run to the sideline, beat five people, and you're gone. You're done. Like, they're not great. I've already suggested that try party.
I also love the punters that can hit. Those are always fun. Like,
they know. Actually, our punter Chris Jones does have a pretty mean hit we've seen in the past. Yeah, but pretty much, like, the Cowboys just capitalized on Redskins' mistakes. Their special teams and their defense came up huge this game, which is exactly what we needed. We needed the turnovers and the stops from the defense, which they got. I believe they had 4 sacks on Kirk, 9 hits. DeMarcus Lawrence is back. He had a sack, as well as Taco Charlton and David Irving. So it's good to see, like, 3 people off that line each tally in a sack. There you go. And really make things happen. I mean, Jason Garrett is a happy man. He's fighting for keeping his coaching spot there, and he made some great adjustments on defense. We had the addition of Kayvon Frazier, who stepped in at safety a little bit for Anthony Brown, and I think that made a massive difference. Or, I'm sorry, not Anthony Brown, Byron Jones, because Anthony Brown has been a little bit lackluster this season as well, but he did come off with an interception, and our other safety, Jeff Heath got away with one, too. What were you guys feeling watching this game? So
I don't know if it was the Redskins playing bad, but the defense for the Cowboys definitely played better. Mm-hmm. And I think Sean Lee, like, I know I said this last week and the week before that, but missing Sean Lee is so huge for the Cowboys. I mean, he means so much to that defense. And they were playing well, like, really good. I wouldn't say, like, top 10, but they were playing, you know, were getting pressure on the quarterback, and was
the
changing
pass
the game.
Rush looked great.
And, and they just slacked off a little bit for the past couple weeks, but they looked better. And I think the Cowboys, all they have to do, and they don't have Zeke right now, but all they really have to do is just hold their own on defense, because their offense can control the clock and they can put up points when they want to. It's just unfortunately, I think it might be a little too late.
Mm-hmm. Or more punt returns, I guess.
Yeah.
exactly. More special team come-ups.
Question for the panel. The Cowboys are currently 6-6.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are we thinking? Realistically, what are we thinking?
I think we can get through the Giants and the Raiders, but it's going to come down to beating Seattle and Philadelphia, correct? And I'm not sure that those will happen.
I think they can go 9-7, but I think it depends on whether or not Philadelphia is playing.
Yeah,
and a lot of other losses in the NFC have to happen, which I'm not sure they will either, because they're all top caliber teams.
It is helpful you're facing Philadelphia at the end of the season. It's very likely that the Eagles will not be playing starters.
Yeah, you might see Nick Foles, luckily.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. I think that does work in our benefit in a little bit, that we may see their backups are not going in full force against us. But again,
be back, week 15?
Against Seattle.
I mean, a Zeke Cowboy team is a lot different playing the Eagles.
Guys, you're not giving Alfred Morris enough credit.
He played a great game. I mean, I love Alfred Morris. He played a great game, but you had an entire first quarter to figure out your offense. I don't think most good teams you're going to be allowed to do that.
So how do you feel then as a Skins fan seeing your old number one running back running all over you and scoring touchdowns?
We
that's got to hurt.
Bigger concern. I mean, Alpha Morris was a great era, but he was past that period. So it's like, I get why they didn't let him bring him back. It's okay. It's like, that reminds me of RG3. And like,
let's not go there. Yeah. Let's definitely not go to RG3.
I'm trying to win football games.
I know.
Man.
Well, it all comes together. You need all the pieces. So, yeah, we're not sure exactly where the playoff situation lies. Sadly, the Redskins season is over.
Yes, it is.
But we got to move on to the Eagles.
Yes, Seahawks. Let's talk the Eagles.
Round of applause to the Seahawks.
Thank you, Seattle.
We beat the Seahawks. You lost the Seahawks, so that's we're better than you.
Yes.
That's how that works.
So if the Redskins
beat us.
Minus
those times we beat them.
I'm sorry, what?
You said to ignore those games.
I'm confused.
So the Redskins, if they were to beat us on Thursday night, you guys would have automatically clinched the playoff berth.
Yep.
But since they didn't, you had to beat Seattle, and you did not do that.
We did not do
that. What happened there? How are you feeling?
You're 10-2 now.
10-2, yeah.
I think I'm on record last week by saying this was the toughest game of the whole season. This was the game we all expected to lose. We lost. We lost pretty handedly.
Great observation.
Carson Wentz was not having a great game.
Yeah. Yep.
The offense. Honestly, the offense had more opportunities than I thought they would. And it's just Carson Wentz just was, for whatever reason, gun shy, or they got to him up front. Like, they got to him a little, like, they hurried him or hit him. That there were a lot of issues there that if we do face them again, which if we did, it would be week two of the playoffs, give or take, depending on a couple of things. I like our chances to do better.
You'll be at home too.
So while we're on Carson Wentz, because it is probably the key discussion here, let's take a look at his quarterback sneak that ended in the fumble on the 1 yard line that then resulted in a Seahawks touchdown. So we see his performance, definitely not his best. But I know this is so funny. But I mean, this happens though. Yeah. Like, he's not going to have an amazing game every single time.
Yeah.
But is it an issue of concern going into a tougher schedule? I mean, are we starting to see the Eagles now face the negative fact of them having an easy schedule the whole first season?
This is my argument last week, and I know this gets you riled up, but. Say what you have to say before I say
it. No, I was saying, please, go on. I'll explain. Like,
this is my thing about the Eagles when it comes to winning a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's argument is that they've been blowing out really bad teams.
Right.
Okay, the Steelers have barely beat a lot of bad teams, but that doesn't take away from their Super Bowl potential. And so, I mean, this is just one game. This could prepare y'all for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I need to see them do something against a very quiet, because this was a beat up Seattle team. They don't have anyone from the Legion of Boom defense.
The best part of their secondary was on the sideline of this game.
So I'm just saying, like, if they play like a Saints or someone like that who can compete with them offensively, I'm just like, why would I pick the Eagles next week, which is going to be
the Rams
aren't
contest.
On that list for me. I think you can beat the Rams.
Mainly because I'll be there.
Yeah,
absolutely want to see them beat the Rams. The Rams are a very beatable team.
Yeah. The Saints, the Panthers, and the Seahawks are the teams of concern. I don't even put the Vikings on the list because Case Keenum is their quarterback. And I just feel like that's going to come back to haunt them at some point.
And let's be very fair. If we were to rewind to the preseason, if the Eagles made it to the NFC Championship game with the Vikings, that would be a success to me in the preseason. Where I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And a lot of the talk has been the Eagles' lack of experience in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Is that something, an issue of concern for you?
That is not an issue of concern for me because I think postseason is a completely separate beast that no one has experience in.
Because a lot of people are saying, oh, well, now they're playing a playoff caliber team on their schedule for the first time all year, and this is kind of how their performance went. Is it the lack of experience in the postseason that they're not able to hang with those teams?
I don't entirely like that narrative.
I hate that narrative. Listen,
so that's not a hot take?
That's a lukewarm take.
They're going to lose games. Like, this is the NFL. The best teams go 13-3, 12-4. They still lose 3, 4, 5 games in during a course of a season. It happens. You're going to lose sometimes. Yeah. It just happens.
But Patriots are also 10-2. Yeah. No one's saying this about the Patriots.
They lost a couple games. And then on top, the whole experience
thing drives me.
The Patriots
are a different conversation.
The experience thing, like, drives me up a freaking wall. These are professional athletes who've played in big games.
Really?
Whole
you don't think it makes a difference?
No, even professional athletes say it's different in the playoffs.
No, listen. These guys have played in cotton bowls Rose Bowls.
That is different from the
all
NFL.
These games. But at the time in their lives, that was the biggest game of their life, and they felt that pressure, the same pressure they'll feel in the postseason. Trust me, they're professional athletes.
Yeah, but it's,
it doesn't mean anything. The footballs, it's still 100 yards to get a touchdown.
But
it's
in college, when you're the best athlete, thing, as opposed to everyone in the NFL is good athletes,
it doesn't matter.
It's a big difference. It's a difference.
It does not matter.
Although, if we really want to get into it, I don't think the NFL postseason actually determines the best team based on merit. Because it's win or out.
Yeah.
Win or lose. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
It's and losing
it's not
out.
A best of seven. Yeah.
Like, single elimination actually is a terrible way to decide the best team.
And I would argue that someone, a college kid playing in a national championship game is having more pressure than an Eagles first round playoff game. So they've been
because
there.
Because he's on an Eagles team that is in the playoffs.
This is true, but also the quality of play is much different.
No, it's
NFL.
Much different, but I don't, like, people make it out to be like, oh, playoff experience, like all of a sudden the field changes, the goalposts are smaller. Now you have to throw the ball in your left hand. Like, it's the same game. It's the same game.
The mindset is so different. The pressure is so different. You've seen him with the Eagles. No offense, they've had stellar regular seasons. As soon as they start getting hot for the postseason, they kind of teeter off.
No, but there's reasons. Listen, but each season, there's a reason for that. There's different reasons for every season. Like, well, the reason.
Oh, no. Just to break it down, if you're 10-2, that means you will lose 20% of the time. Meaning, in any given Sunday, whether it's a regular season game, a postseason game, a preseason game, there's a 20% chance you lose.
Yes.
That's the math.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I'm with you, Josh, to say that it has anything to do whether it's a playoff game or not, just, I don't
NFL
buy that
narrative. NFL players have said this. We don't have to talk about this too long, but
NFL
people who have been there say that it's different.
Let's get it from the source directly.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
And
not
as,
really.
As much as I'm loving this heated debate, we
I know.
Have,
let's get back to the Eagles. No,
we have 60 seconds left of this show.
Do we? Oh,
wow. Yes, this is it. Because y'all was late, so let's try to be on time next time.
Fair,
give our fans some due diligence and some recaps on these games. Final Eagles take. I mean, they have the Rams next week, and I have high hopes for the Rams, and I'm hoping that they come up on top. I think that they are a very offensive team, and the Eagles have a lot of pressure coming off this win. So can they handle it, or this loss? Sorry.
I think they can handle it. I also think the Rams are a good but very ultimately beatable team.
Yeah,
agreed.
And I think they win next week, and then it kind of doesn't matter if they beat Oakland.
They're in.
Yeah, because like, they're in.
They're gonna clinch everything.
And is it Oakland, New York, Dallas, or Oakland?
We're your last game of the season.
Dallas. I think there's three.
We play Oakland the next.
I'll look it up.
Week after next, so you guys probably have.
I'm missing a third game. I want to say it's the Giants. I don't think we've played the Giants twice yet.
No, we play you again.
That's going to be a brutal game. Is it not?
Then it's going to be Los Angeles, Oakland, Giants, Cowboys. Or we'll flop the middle two.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're gonna go 11 wins, and it's not necessarily going to matter if we beat Oakland.
Rams, Giants, Raiders, Cowboys.
Okay,
you're saying you're only gonna win one more game the rest of the season.
I'm saying it's only gonna matter that we win one more game the rest of the season.
Well, you don't need the one seed.
We'd like the one seed, but we're not gonna destroy our chances at the postseason over the one seed.
All right,
and also we're gonna beat the Giants. I'm sorry, Josh.
What are you talking about?
Well, let's all hands in right now. Go Giants. Yes. That's the only time I'll ever say it. Well, we'll see if the wheels fall off the Wentz wagon. God, that's such like a dad joke analogy. But sadly, we are out of time. We had a ton of stuff I wish we could have talked about. But join us next week. We'll be back recapping the NFC East games for the NFC East Reactions and Update show, 6 p.m. Pacific time. My name is Jenna Bussier. You can find me on Twitter at Jenna_Bussier. And everybody say your goodbyes.
Goodbye. I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_.
I'm D'Angelo. You can hit me up on Twitter, on Instagram, at D'Angelo TV for Twitter, at D'Angelo for Instagram. All my DC sports fans, it's time to move on to basketball and baseball.
Sorry, you said DC sports, and I was thinking the Gotham.
Whatever
the sports teams are in Gotham and Metropolis. That's immediately where my head went.
That's incredible.
I'm Steve Kauf. You can find really nerdy hot takes on my Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That's KAUF. MANN. You can also go to thesoberyear.com. That's a vlog I do about sobriety.
Interesting. Yes. And I'm really feeling this Kris Kringle Christmas.
Every week.
Every week.
Look that we're like getting from you tonight.
I can do inspired here.
Nice. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time.
Deuces.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.